This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's up and happy Tuesday. Grant and Danny on the Fan without Danny. For I believe the third time in the last few weeks, Danny is home with flu-like symptoms. I don't know what's going on, but we're thinking about him and we hope he is back in the saddle tomorrow because we've got a great week of shows ahead, including a live broadcast tomorrow in Ashburn at Lost Rhino. And then on Thursday, opening day, we'll be at field level, on the field, during batting practice, ahead of opening day right here on Grant and Danny, starting at 2 o'clock ahead of a 4 o'clock first pitch. So hopefully Danny is back tomorrow. Big show today, though, at 3. Bob Carpenter stops by today. We'll ask him about the announcement he made yesterday that this will be his 20th and final season calling Nats games. At 4 o'clock in 2 hours, we're giving away 4 tickets in the good seats to go see the D.C. Defenders open the UFL season. And at 6 o'clock in 4 hours, Joe Beninati joins us ahead of the best regular season matchup on the Caps slate this season on a big Caps news day as Jacob Chychrun has been extended. All of that coming up on Grant and Danny. Toby's kicking it with me. Darris and Ryan are alongside on the production. Not a bad day for DC sports fans, though. On this program, we talk to Jacob Chychrun every single Wednesday. And tomorrow, Chicks will be with us at 3 o'clock. We will congratulate him on making $72 million over the next 8 years. Not a bad payday for the most electric offensive defenseman the Caps have had in several years. Toby, they get the deal done.
It's awesome. I don't know, because we didn't know for sure that Danny was going to be out today until a little bit before the show. Does the Chychrun news count as Danny being out, we get the news breaking sort of deal?
Is Danny on the air to react?
No, he's not.
To the big extension. I mean, if you're a Caps fan, this has been all season in the making.
Yes.
There was some fear that if they didn't get this done ahead of the playoffs, maybe things go sideways this offseason, and he walks. They do it. And it's a mega deal. $9 million per year. This is Backstrom and Ovechkin territory, and really nobody else. Part of that is because the salary cap is completely exploding. But, yeah, this is Danny's out, so major news break stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this is huge for the Capitals, obviously. This is something that really was the big question mark going into what's going to be a great postseason and then an offseason where there was question marks just about whether he was going to be back or not. Ovechkin likely returning for next season, assuming they, you know, he doesn't break the record and go on a cup run and win it all. And it, more than likely, he's going to be back next season. And so that was kind of answered. And then they've kind of locked up some of their other guys. So the big question was, is Chychrun going to be a long-term part of this plan or not? And they finally get it done. It's something we've all wanted. It's something that made so much sense. And like you said, with the salary cap going up so much, it allows you to make some of these moves.
So here's the number on the cap over the next 3 years. And this is why I don't want to hear anybody suggesting that this is too much money. First of all, it's the market for a terrific all-star caliber defenseman, which is what Jacob Chychrun is. $9 million is what you pay an elite defenseman. But with the exploding salary cap, you've got the money to do it. It's like knowing that you're going to get gigantic raises for each of the next 3 years in your contract. So it's okay to bake in a little bit more of a car payment, so to speak, right? The current salary cap in the NHL, follow me for a second, is $88 million. Next year, it's going to jump to $95.5 million. So that's almost your Chychrun money right there. The year after that, 2 years from now, it'll be at $104 million, up almost $20 million. And then the third year of this three-year growth period that they've already allocated and told teams about, you're up to $113.5 million from the $88 million this year. So that's how you've already got your goaltenders locked up. Now you've got Chychrun ready to go. This team is not only outstanding in the moment, where tonight, as the number one team in the NHL, they're playing the number one team in the Western Conference in a matchup of the two most likely teams to win the regular season crown as the President's Trophy winner. 102-point Washington, 100-point Winnipeg, 8 o'clock puck drop. We'll talk to Joby about it coming up at 6. But they're cup caliber good now. As you said, Ovi's got 1 year left on his deal, maybe rides into the sunset as the all-time goal scorer after the end of next season. But what about the next phase? They've got Ryan Leonard at Boston College right now, who's going to be in the NHL playing in the postseason for them this year. They've got another Protus coming, Ilya, Alexei's little brother. They've got a litany of prospects at the high end, like Cole Hudson, who are going to be up and helping them at the major league level in the very near future at this point. And because of that, and what they've got at the NHL level under contract in Protus and the ascending McMichael and now the Chychrun deal, some of the building blocks like PLD and Dylan Strome, they are built for the long haul too. This is a really, really healthy short and long-term organization, and they've made it through that. What's going to happen when the era ends and Ovi crashes into the wall and you've got Backstrom getting older and Oshie getting older. That's all over. They're the number one team in the league, and they are built to be really good for years to come.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's so impressive about this team is last year you're thinking, okay, when Ovi's done, where could this team go? And then all these guys taking a jump together this year, Protus, McMichael, bringing in Chychrun, how he's played, bringing in Logan Thompson, how he's played, all the moves they made this offseason to improve the hockey team. So they go from a team that snuck into the playoffs last year. Obviously, it didn't work out when they got into the playoffs. And this year, they go from being that team to the best team in hockey. It's been really, really cool to watch. And then on top of that, Ovi's still playing really well. And then going forward, when Ovi's done, whatever that is, you feel like you've got a future, which a couple of years ago, you didn't feel like you had. So now you don't go from a team that, okay, now we got to rebuild after Ovi. Now it's, okay, Ovi's gone, and that was, you know, the most fun ride we've had in D.C., to, okay, now on to the next generation, the McMichaels, the Protuses, the Chychruns, all these guys taking over. This team is still going to be good after Ovechkin, and we couldn't have really said that a couple of years ago, or even maybe last year. Coming into this year, what they've been able to do has been super impressive, and now locking down these guys so that you have them, it's also smart because, like you said, with the salary cap going up and up and up, if you get out ahead, we see this in the NFL all the time. If you're the first one to pay, you end up with a bargain. If you continue to wait for other people to start setting markets, not to say that, you know, people are like Chychrun or just available, but when other people start signing those deals, you start having to go to that level. You have to match it, go over. And when you're one of the first ones to do it, you're usually going to get the better deal.
What we haven't even talked about, though, with the growth of the cap for this Caps team is all the money coming off the books this offseason, too. Right? Backstrom and Oshie, the LTIR guys, because it's not penny for penny. It's not like they get every single dollar when those guys are stashed, but they will now when those guys are off the books. Mangiapane is one guy I'd say on the team who's making more money than the production probably warrants. You can get out of that deal this offseason. And then with the growth of the cap, they're going to go out and add another star potentially. They've been so good at finding whether it's a younger, talented player with baggage like a Pierre-Luc Dubois who comes here and all of a sudden it's no longer an issue, or just a guy that another organization can't pay or it isn't a fit for whatever reason. I give McClellan and Patrick and the whole front office credit for this for years, whether it was Dylan Strome or Brett Connolly or, you know, TJ Oshie in St. Louis. They've always gone and gotten the guy they can give the five-year deal to or whatever in the prime of their career. They'll have another chance to add another guy like that with the prospects coming now too. There's no reason to believe that the good times won't keep rolling at Capital One Arena. And I'm just so giddy and so elated about it. And the news of the Chychrun extension today kicks off what I think is now the stretch run for them. 12 games to go. This should be a party. We're watching Ovi chase down Wayne Gretzky. If he's close enough next week, we're going to be doing watch parties over in Bethesda at Caddy's. Can't wait for that. But you've got a playoff push starting as they try to finish number one in the conference, number one in the National Hockey League. And now you've paid Chychrun and you've set yourself up for the long term on the blue line. How good is he, you're wondering, offensively? Well, let's give you some numbers. Game-winning goals this year, he's the number one defenseman in the NHL. Power play goals this year, he's the number two defenseman in the National Hockey League. Goals overall, he's the number three blue liner in the NHL. If you look at plus-minus, kind of an antiquated number, he's fringe top 10. Points among defensemen this year, just outside of the top 15. Assists this year, top 35. He has been so good, and this is not new. This is not like some guy that wasn't talented. He has scored 20 goals in a season before. He had 66 goals total from the pandemic year, the start of the 2020 season, to right now. Only Makar and Josi have had more among defensemen in the NHL, number three. It's like, this is who he is. He is a foundational piece, but like so many of the guys in this Rock the Red era, they get the most out of their players. They have the culture that the Commanders never had and hopefully do now with Adam Peters, that the Nationals, for a fleeting moment from 12 to 19, had, but haven't on either end, where like, I bring a guy in, he'll be better here than he was at the last place. We see that in other sports all the time, the Patriots and the Packers and the Steelers and some of these teams. In hockey, that's the Caps. It's our team in D.C., and it has been forever. Yeah. And Chychrun's the latest version of it.
It's so special to see them do that. And I saw you tweeted about this a couple days ago, talking about this era of hockey where maybe they haven't had the playoff success overall that we'd like. Obviously, the cup run in 18 was so special. But outside of that, there's been so many disappointments. But to your point in the tweet, basically saying this whole era has been so special to watch, has been so much fun that every year you felt like the Capitals had a shot. And sure, there were times they came up short, but to a credit to a front office, you can only do so much. You put your guys in a position where they can be the best team possible. And I think they've done that for a long, long time. And the beautiful part about this is we kind of thought that there was a chance that this could end when Ovi retires. And now it seems like this is going to keep going and going and going with guys like Pierre-Luc Dubois coming in. And all we heard about was how bad the contract is. He's a pain, and he's been nothing but great this year. Jacob Chychrun, he comes in, and now you sign him long-term, and just the ability to even develop their own guys with Protas and McMichael, it's been really cool to see that it's not just going to be when Ovi's done, so are the Caps.
Yeah.
It's going to continue going even without Ovi.
They draft well. They develop brilliantly. They make great decisions with veterans. And they've had the greatest goal scorer of all time as their anchor the entire way. And what happens when you combine all those things is nearly two decades of being, on paper, as good a team as there was in the sport. But that was kind of the point I was making, and I can bounce this off you. If you guys want to weigh in on this, as Chychrun is extended, Caps fans, you can do so at 800-636-1067. But the point I was making was, I get the whole argument that they've only won one cup and that's a disappointment. I even think that's accurate. It is a disappointment based on how good they've been that they've only won one cup. That's a fact. They've only gone to one Eastern Conference final, in fact, which is even more problematic, meaning they've gotten out of the second round only the year that they won the cup. It'd be one thing if you got to two or three conference finals like you were the Eagles under Andy Reid or something, but you couldn't break through, or you lost in a Stanley Cup. Didn't happen. And that's the Rock the Red era. That's what you've got to show for it, is one time out of the second round. And so a lot of people will point to that, and they'll say, not good enough. I just can't relate to them. I'm not telling you you're wrong. Your fandom is your own. That's not how I think. And specifically in hockey, I really do believe this is a hockey point largely. I don't know if I'd feel the same way in football or in baseball or in basketball. Definitely not basketball, where I think there's less chance than in other sports. But in hockey, there is so much variance. There is so much chance. We call it puck luck. That's the phrase.
Mm-hmm.
But just playing better than the other team, less than any other sport, guarantees you a win in a postseason game or a postseason series. And based on that, I can't just be so result-oriented. The goal is to field a great product. The goal is to put together an outstanding team. I say this about Mike Rizzo all the time. His goal every year should be to field a 90-win team when he's given enough money to do so. He's not
correct
at this point.
Yeah.
But he used to do that all the time. Hand the manager 90-plus wins, and now they got to go get you a championship, work in the clubhouse the way that they can, making decisions in-game to steal some wins. For the Caps, it's about the product, right? And I just know this. I don't know how many games I've been to since Ovechkin was drafted when I was in high school, but the number is in the hundreds, maybe over 1,000 at this point.
Sure.
The amount of hours of entertainment sitting in my house watching that great product, night in and night out, pouring in 5 and 6 and 7 and 4 goals, and the lamp being lit and the winds strung together, and then going to Capital One Arena and sitting in that chilly, cold environment wearing your red with 20,000 people wearing the same thing. There's been nothing like it in my life for the better part of 2 decades. So I can't sit here and go, eh, it's only one championship. It's been so fun. The product has been so exceptional. The return on fan investment, for me, time, energy, money, you know, whatever that looks like, they have delivered night in and night out with an exceptional product for decades now. So I just don't relate, and I think it's more a hockey point, I will admit, one more time, than I would say in other sports. But the people that will look back at this and go, oh, should have been a couple of cups. Sure. And this has been awesome. And I will have this forever.
Yeah, so it's interesting because you can compare this to another team in town with the Washington Nationals, right? You mentioned the run from 12 to 19 where they were good kind of every other year they're in the playoffs. Grant, they've only ever won a playoff series in 2019. That's the only time. They've lost every other series.
By the way, that is a staggering thing to say.
It's true.
They have won not one playoff series, but 1 year they have won a playoff series in their existence in year 20.
Because they lost in 12, they lost in 14, they lost in 16, they lost in 17. And then they finally get to 2019 and break through.
And by the way, in the most painful ways.
Yes.
They never just lost.
And so they're paralleled in a lot of ways with the Caps, right? And it's funny because, to your point, people look at the Caps as one cup, man. That's it. And then people look at the Nats and go, 19 was awesome, dude. 19 was great. And like we look back, obviously, now and it's totally different. The Caps are still rolling. They're the best team in the league right now. That's obviously not the Nationals. But it's funny the difference in how people look back on it, where it's a disappointment, maybe because you have one of the greatest hockey players of all time on the Caps and Alex Ovechkin. Maybe that's part of it. But looking back on the hockey team saying, man, they didn't capitalize. And meanwhile, with the Nationals, they literally only have ever won series in 1 year. In 2019, they went on to win the World Series that year. And it's looked at as they did their job. They finally punched through. So it's just different that way. But, you know, to my to your point, too, I was a casual hockey fan. I've gotten into it more now that I'm working here at the Fan. But I'd still say I'm more of a casual hockey fan. My mom and I would watch the playoffs every year. But that's the point. They were in the playoffs every year. If the Capitals were not in the playoffs, I would not have cared one bit. But every single year when I was growing up, it was, oh, it's playoff hockey time. The Caps are on. Let's watch it.
It's a spring rite of passage around here.
Yes.
The weather gets warmer. The girls put on the sundresses. I buy the Thin Mints. And the Capitals play in the playoffs.
Yes.
That's what happens every single spring in Washington, D.C. I also just don't know if there's the correct acknowledgement of how brilliant this front office is. Brian McClellan has had the Midas touch since the end of last season. He has been staggeringly good with the offseason that they had and the success that they have had. Chris Patrick, who's now currently their general manager, working under McClellan, who's basically become the Rizzo de facto like team president. The Patrick family, for people that don't know, Dick has forever been kind of the architect of the contracts and the cap and so many things with the Capitals. But like his grandfather, this is Chris Patrick's grandpa, so Dick's father, Muzz, played in the NHL in like the 30s and 40s and was a player and a GM and a coach and did everything. It's hockey royalty. But this front office right now, what McClellan has done, it's a masterclass. And this contract that they get done with Chychrun now, they got the dude straight up for Nick Jensen. They were looking to get out of the Nick Jensen business. They flipped him for Chychrun, who's had as good a year offensively as anybody who plays on defense in the league. And now they just gave him $9 million a year with the cap exploding. Stuart's in Fredericksburg. What's up, Stuart?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I mean, absolutely, the Chychrun deal is a masterclass, and I hope people understand that what Chychrun signed for is a smaller percentage of the cap than what John Carlson got when he signed his mega deal. That gives the Capitals so much flexibility going forward to have Chychrun locked up as the foundation of your defense, with Rasmus Sandin, no less, and then by the time that Carlson's ready to hang it up, you have Cole Hutson coming right behind him to be that next defenseman to carry on the lineage. And look, nothing, you can't say enough about the Capitals front office and what they do, whether it's hitting on every single move this past summer or the prospect pool that they've developed. I mean, when you have Leonard, Kristall, Parisek already in the hopper, ready to come on and contribute, not only to the top six, but to the top six and bottom six.
They're loaded.
Your lineup is set. You're
yes.
loaded. And when Ovi walks away, obviously drafting a superstar makes people care about hockey and it makes things great. But you've set yourself up for the next era with cap flexibility and these prospects. Look, they're going to be in the Mitch Marner sweepstakes this summer to add another bona fide superstar to the top six, because guess what? They have cap flexibility, and they have great prospects.
And guess what else, Stuart? I'll add one more thing.
Hendrick LaPierre.
And you're killing it. Thank you. It's a great phone call. They also are a destination organization. You want to go play in the playoffs? You come to Washington. You want to go be a part of Alex Ovechkin, potentially still looking to break Wayne Gretzky's record if he's three goals away? You sign in Washington, you get to be a part of that history, too. Or him chasing down 900 or whatever ends up being next year. So players are going to want to come here when they're in that market. The other thing I would say about the Carlson deal, which was $8.64 million per, right after they won the cup, which was well deserved by a career Capital. He was 29 when he got that deal. Jacob Chychrun is 26 years old as we talk right now. So you're going 8 years for a younger guy with more prime years ahead of him to be basically your next wave's Carlson. He will be the centerpiece of your defensive group of six for the next iteration, like Carlson has been the mainstay for so many years here in Washington. Carlos, Saverna Park, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Love it. Caps talk. I'm here for it. Like you said, spring is coming, and it's a guaranteed playoff appearance. And I love what you said about the product on the ice. You know, as a diehard Commanders fan, when they were doing terrible on a Dan Snyder, I had a problem spending $15 for a beer because the product on the football field was terrible. But guess what? When I go to Capital One Arena, I will buy whatever $15 beer is out there because the product on the ice is amazing. I got Ovechkin. I got Carlson. I got Tom Wilson. I got playoff success. And yes, one appearance in the Stanley Cup and one appearance in the Eastern Conference Final. Fine. You guys can be mad at that. Not you, Grant, but you guys, the fans can be mad at that. But guess what? Hockey is the hardest sport to win a championship, in my opinion. The Stanley Cup playoffs is the toughest playoff out of any other playoffs. This Chychrun deal sets us up for success for the future. We are not going anywhere. The Capitals aren't going anywhere. We are going to win probably a couple of Stanley Cups within the next 10 years. Thank you so much.
They're set up to have a shot to. And he's right about how hard it is to win one. It's also the one you control the outcome the least. I want to keep coming back to that. There's just more variants that you have nothing to say about when it comes to the NHL postseason. It's why when people say, you think they'll win the cup this year? I don't know.
Yeah, anybody that's in could win it.
They will go into the playoffs the best team in the East.
Mm-hmm.
They will go into the playoffs with as good a chance, probably a better chance, than almost every other team. That and $5 will get you a box of donuts when you walk out of Northwest Stadium into the parking lot for the fundraiser that the kids are doing out of the wagon. You know, it just doesn't mean a whole lot when the playoffs start. You need Logan Thompson to stand on his head, and you need some bounces like they got in 2018. We'll talk more about the Chychrun extension throughout the day, including on the Blitz at 4 and when Joe Beninati joins us at 6. Great game tonight. Best team in the East, Washington. Best team in the West, the Winnipeg Jets. Seventh time ever, by the way, that this late in the year, the best team in each conference will play when both of them are in the top three in goals scored and goals allowed. This is a hell of a game tonight. I can't wait for at 8 o'clock. But next, I want to get into what ESPN said about the Commanders. They labeled them as a team that has to trade back in the NFL draft coming up this spring. Do we agree with that? That's next on The Fan.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Couple of notes about the shows ahead this week on Wednesday and Thursday. Grant and Danny, welcome back. You're listening to The Fan. Danny's out sick today. He's been leading the league in sick, I will say.
I mean, this station has been leading the league in
True.
Sick.
In January during the playoff run, got the flu. I never get the flu, but it happened. And then in February, I got strep throat, which I've never had in my life. It was the worst thing ever. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I thought that was bad. Over 2 months to get sick twice. Danny has now been sick, I think, 3 times in about 3 weeks.
Basically, in almost 3 full months of 2024, someone at the station has been seriously sick for every day almost.
Yeah, Linnell's out sick right now. I know our boss has strep and the flu. Like, it's a shebingus at this juncture.
It's a disaster. Like,
I want to wear a hazmat suit to work.
Knock on wood, I've largely escaped it, but I will say, last Thursday or whatever day it was when we were, not last Thursday, 2 Thursdays ago when we were down in West Palm, I was feeling it when I was hanging out with you.
Yeah.
I was not
you're
feeling
losing
great.
Your voice. You hang out with us long enough, Tobes, you're going to get sick.
Yeah. Apparently my immune system hasn't caught up with you guys just yet, but we're working there.
But here's the deal. So tomorrow we're going to be at Los Rhino in Ashburn. For those of you who haven't been out there, we've done some shows there. It's a really, really cool venue. The Brew Pub in Ashburn. We're going to do the show live from 2 to 6:30. So Charlie and Dave are going to be on site previewing the Nats season from 5 to 6:30. So if you want to meet Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler, hang out with them, the last 90 minutes of the show, all Nats, we're going to be kicking it with them. But I was able to line this up today, and I'm fired up about this.
Let's go.
The People's Punter.
Mm.
Recently re-signed. Commander's legend. One of the few guys in the locker room who I can say this about. Former Redskins legend. Tress Way, with us tomorrow on site for an hour, 2:30 to 3:30, at Los Rhino Brew Pub in Ashburn, hanging with the people. So if you want to meet Tress, if you want to come spend some time, fellowship, camaraderie, eat some food, have a brew, get their brand new Hitting Dingers Hazy IPA, and not only meet Tress Way, but Dave Jagler and Charlie Slows all in one fell swoop, tomorrow's your day to do it. Should be a hell of a show.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be awesome. I mean, who wouldn't want to meet us, obviously? And then, obviously, you add on Tressway.
I didn't mention us because that's clearly the main event.
Yeah.
And Danny could be there, too.
Hopefully Danny's there.
I'm guessing he'll have another strand of the flu by then.
Yeah, who knows? It might be flu C, flu D, flu... I don't know which one it's going to be, but hopefully he's better by then. But, yeah, Tressway, Charlie and Dave. Doesn't get better than that.
And then Thursday, opening day... All day long, celebrating on the Fan, the kickoff of a brand new baseball season. My favorite show, arguably, of the year, when we broadcast live from the field over at Nats Park, sitting in the dugout on air, and then standing behind the batting cage with the crack of the bat during BP, talking about hope springing eternal in a brand new baseball season. So we'll keep you company throughout the week with everything going on in DC sports. Our poll of the day was just posted on 106.7 The Fan's Twitter account. This is the G&D poll of the day presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. ESPN has a piece that dropped last night via Bill Barnwell, where they went through every team and talked about the necessity for that team to trade up or trade back in the first round. And they labeled Washington as a team that needs to trade back from pick 29. Do you agree that the Commanders need to trade back in the first round? Get out of the first round at 29 and accrue more selections. So far, just a few dozen votes in, 71% of you are saying yes, and about 29% of you are saying no, that they should trade back. The question I want to pose is, I think everyone acknowledges it's a good idea, that they would benefit from it if things worked out, that they got the right deal. But is this a want or a need? Do they have to trade back, or is it just something they should consider? Because I think those are two very, very different things, Toby. You look at what they've got right now for this year's draft class lined up. It's 5 total draft picks. That's it. You get 7, one in every single round. So what you should have typically is 5 picks in the first 5 rounds. Washington has 3. 2 of their 5 picks are late 6th and 7th. They barely count, respectfully. I mean, that might be a special teamer. Yes, Tom Brady happened. Every few decades, a superstar Hall of Famer is taken that later is undrafted. But at a 90-some percent rate, the guy you take with the 29th pick in the 7th round will not really play for you that much or help you that much. They have the 29th pick in the first round. They have the 29th pick in the second round, which is 61 overall. Those are the two guys that are likely to make an impact to really help you. And then if this front office nails it in the 4th round with pick 26 in that group, which is 128 overall, if they stand pat, they should get 3 players that help them a bunch this season. Sorry, man. You have to trade back. And I liked what they did, for the record, going out and getting Laremy Tunsil. I would have traded the picks, too. I liked what they did going out and getting Deebo Samuel. I would have given up a 5, too. But it has made it now a necessity for me, a need, not a want, to come back from 29 to recoup. Hopefully something in the 40s and something in the 60s, or something in the 30s and something in the 70s. Add another pick so that you have now 4 potential helpers coming in this class rather than just a couple.
So for me, it's not a need to trade back from 29, but I would say strongly that I would want them to, because the reason that I'm going to say it's not a need is if one of these edge rushers that you so desperately want, you thought this guy was going to be gone at, you know, 15 and he's suddenly there at 29, you take him because you still need blue chip players. And trading back, just taking a look, quick look at, you know, a trade value chart right now. You know, obviously, they each have their own values, but they have Washington at pick number 29 as a 640 value. Pick number, say, 48, halfway through the second round is 420. And so are you going to move back there and then acquire like an extra 4th or something? Is that enough for you to feel like, if I could get James Pierce from Tennessee, do I want to give up the opportunity to do that versus I have to trade back because that's my mind's made up. I need to. I think one of your first 2 picks probably needs to be a trade back. The only reason I wouldn't trade back in the first round is if you find a guy there that you said, I thought he was going to be gone.
So let me ask you this. What if they don't love an edge? And I don't mean that's available at 29. I just mean going into the first round on draft night, the guys they really like, they know are all going to go in the first half of the first round. And the potential available defensive ends are just not guys that they really like there. They think they're second-round graded players. At that point, is it a no-brainer to move back for you?
Yeah, unless there's some other position, which I don't know that there's another spot where I'm like...
They could get a really good corner there.
Yeah, I don't know that there's another spot, though, where I'm like, I've got to get that guy. Because the only glaring need going into next year for me, like, there are still needs, but glaring need is edge rusher. They need a difference maker there. If they see one there, then I would go for it. But to your point, if for whatever reason they don't like James Pierce and he's still available, or, you know, Mike Green, all these guys are gone... then yes, please trade back. I just think, you know, I want to be cautionary on saying, oh, they have to or it's stupid, because if you go back and then you still don't nail selections, well, quality over quantity for me. And that's the thing here. If you can find good players in the second round, and by all accounts, you know, you hear the draft guys kind of saying that picks 20 through 60, a lot of ways are going to be similar to each other. Whether you are getting your guys at 20th or 60th, they're going to be kind of in that same pool in terms of skill level. So maybe you could go back and acquire some more picks. But my thing is, if you can get a quality player at 29, I would prefer edge rusher. But if they look somewhere else and they say, well, they want to upgrade at wide receiver two, or they want to do something else, I'm not going to fault them if they stay and pick.
All right, so my vote on the Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day, do you agree that they should forego picking at 29 to trade back, would be yes, with the 70% of people who are saying that. It sounds like yours would be no.
Yeah, I would lean towards yes, but no, because of the fact that I think you could still end up with a good player. I would say that I'm more in favor of trading back, but if one of those dudes is there, let's do it.
So, first, I want to take calls on this next. The phone lines are open at 800-636-1067. I'm saying they got to do it. It's not just something they should consider. It's not a want. It's more of a need, because they only have the five picks, and two of them are very, very late. Toby's a little more open to the idea of sticking and picking. Where are you guys out on that? 800-636-1067. But I'll also tell you next something else I would consider doing with the 29th pick that I think will not go over very well. But I would actually try to do it today and see where it got me. You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Bob Carpenter joins us in 15 minutes at 3 o'clock. Carp announced on Masson yesterday that this upcoming Nat season, which begins on Thursday, will be his 20th and his final in the booth. 42 years in baseball. Amazing career for one of the really good gentlemen of the sport. He'll join us at 3 o'clock to discuss not only what has been a great career in this final season upcoming for him, but the start of a brand new Nats campaign. Looking forward to that conversation here on Grant and Danny. No Danny today. Toby is alongside. We're discussing ESPN's piece from last night. Teams, one by one, whether or not they should trade up or trade down and how much they should try to do so. And ESPN's pretty adamant that the Commanders should move the 29th pick, saying this one might feel like a surprise. The Commanders were last year's surprise contenders. They go on to write about the growth of Jaden Daniels and how great the season was, but they make the very obvious point. They've got two picks in the top 125 selections in this class. That screams into a megaphone, you need more early picks. How do you get them? You trade back from 29. And the question we've got for you guys, we'll hit the phones in a second, 800-636-1067, is it something that they should go into the draft prioritizing? Should they be hell-bent on trading back, or is it just something they should think about doing? Sounds like I'm a little more passionate about the trade back than you are, although you'd acknowledge that it's a good idea. But I tease this, Toby, and I want to throw this out there at you. I said there's one other thing I would do at pick 29 today that might be unpopular. I would call the Bengals today, and I would offer them 29 for Trey Hendrickson. Straight up. They're not getting what they want, clearly. Which is, at this point, you know, they probably backed off of a one, and they're probably looking for a two. I guess I could start there, maybe. But if it came to it where they said it's 29 or bust, here's 29. I've got the edge. You want to take an edge anyway, you just told
me. Correct, yes.
You're hoping that some guy that might stink falls into your lap because he's one of the three guys in this process that we're enamored with. What if I said, with that same pick, I'll get you 15 sacks, 20 quarterback hits, and a top five player at the position over the last 3 years in the league? Why shouldn't they do that? I would try to do that today. So if I'm not trading back, that pick's getting me Trey Hendrickson. If you want to solve the edge problem, in other words, you're saying, GP, I'm not trading back because I got to get my defensive end. Mm-hmm. Okay, no problem. Then call the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm going to pass.
To draft a lottery ticket?
Well, here's the issue I have. 29 is not a lottery ticket. 61, we can have that discussion. It's 20. I get that it's not a top 10 pick, but to dismiss a first rounder, like we do this bit where a 29th pick is basically the second rounder. Well, a 35th pick is basically a first rounder. Well, look, you can find guys there. This is where the scouting staff has to do their jobs. This is where they have to find guys, because the issue I have is you're trading away so many draft picks that are. I get that you want to win next year. I don't want to dismiss that, but I don't know that now is the time to do this when there's still holes. And are you going to plug a guy that in 2 years is going to be 32 years old? Do you feel great about that when you're looking at Jaden coming up and you say, okay, maybe that's how you're going to work it, where his contract comes off, you pay Jaden? I'm trying to build something like San Fran has, where every year we talk and say, San Fran's a Super Bowl contender. I'm saying that for year after year after year for like a decade. Are you able to continue to do that when you trade pick after pick after pick after pick after pick? Yes, you get good guys, but there's still a lot of needs on this team. I would use that draft pick to get somebody. Or if you trade back, use draft picks. I don't know. I just...
Mind wasn't made up on an edge, like a lot of people's are, and I totally get it because they desperately need one. That's why I'm trying to get Trey Hendrickson. But my point is, when you say, well, the 29th pick is ultra valuable, it is. But you're fishing in a very small bucket, right? So Abdul Carter's long gone. Jalen Walker's long gone. Mikel Williams has been drafted at a minimum. I think there's also a chance, by the way, that James Pierce and Shamar Stewart or Mike Green are all gone, too.
Of course, yeah.
But let's just say, hypothetically, that Pierce and Green are still there. Here's where we're going to disagree. Is a first-round talent. I talk about this with baseball prospects all the time. People drive me crazy when they just label prospects suspects, and they're like, well, they've never done it in the big leagues. There's a difference between a number one overall prospect in the industry and the 19th guy in the Nats system. Yeah, they're both in the minor leagues. There's a lot better chance that one becomes a star. And I do hate them just throwing everyone in the same bucket. But if we're going to disagree on, like, whether Mike Green to be a great edge is a crapshoot. With all apologies to his work at Marshall, I'm not sure who they played this year.
By the way, I'd be psyched if they drafted Mike Green.
I would be happy with that too. I would be. But you know who I know is great? Trey Hendrickson.
So here's where I
James
think...
Pierce, same thing. The numbers aren't even necessarily there. That's a specimen. That's 6'5", 245. That is a crapshoot. That this guy ever becomes a 10-sack guy in the league. Montez Sweat, really, really good player. With a head start, can't get you 10 sacks in a season. Trey Hendrickson will get you 15.
See, I'll take Montez Sweat at 29 over trading that pick for Trey Hendrickson and paying him. Because I think you can build on that. I think you're going to get better
play. What do you mean? You mean you would...
Like, if you saw...
You would take a Montez Sweat career out of a player you're taking at 29.
Then trading for Trey Hendrickson for the price.
Ooh, not me. A DPOY candidate?
Because you're giving up draft picks.
So what?
Where I get a solid guy for a dude that's going to be here for 5 years, that's going to help me and theoretically get better year to year.
Hendrickson's going to be here. You're paying
Hendrickson's going to be... How long do you think Hendrickson's going to be putting up double-digit sacks?
At least 3 years.
And see, I don't know that I agree with that. If I'm doing it for 2 years...
Bruce Smith was getting 9 sacks at 40.
Here's my problem. I need to constantly build this thing up. I needed to get better and better and better and better. I don't think that's happening when you consistently trade draft picks for people that are 30. I want young people on this team help it continue to grow. And I think the way to do that is through the draft. I still want them to trade back from 29. I would lean that way, but I'm not trading more draft picks for basically anybody.
Julius Peppers had 12 sacks at 37 years old. It's not a position where you fall off a cliff at like 33. You get a little smarter. You set guys up.
Maybe I'm not as high on Trey Hendrickson. I know he's had 17 and a half sacks the last 2 years.
What the hell's the guy need to do for you, Toby?
I like Hendrickson. I don't think he's the most skilled pass rusher in the world. If like,
what is it about him that you don't like? Is there anything specific that stands
out? No, there's nothing. I think he's a good football player. I would love to have traded. I just think when you consistently trade all these picks, you're not setting up your foundation well.
I agree with you. It should be the exception, not the rule. They're getting a little heavy with it. I agree. But I got to look at all these things in a vacuum.
Here's where
and you're saying if they're going to draft an edge, and it's Mike White, who's the older brother of a kid I went to high school with, or Trey Hendrickson, respectfully, I will take the DPOY candidate and feel like the next 2 or 3 years he's going to go get me 40 sacks.
I know we got to hit a break, but real quick, do you view them as a Super Bowl contender as they're constructed right now?
Why wouldn't I?
I don't. I just don't. And so trading another first-round pick for a team, because I'm not trying to be just Super Bowl contenders where I'm always in the conversation.
Well, I promise I wanna you they're build, not without an edge.
I want to build the juggernaut. And so my thing is, if I keep trading for these guys where Hendrickson improves your team, there's no question. He's going to improve your team more than you got to get at 29, no question. It takes me from being the seventh favorite to the sixth.
Are they worse than San Francisco?
Right now
is one of the favorites in the NFC?
Probably not.
No, they're better.
I don't think they're better than the teams in the AFC. I don't think they're better than the Eagles.
That's a different thing. I mean, the Eagles are the only team I would say in the NFC head and shoulders better than them.
Sure.
Are they decidedly worse than Detroit, who they just beat in the playoffs?
I think they are.
Taken a step back, lost their coordinator, lost a lot of talent?
I would say that they are.
Head and shoulders worse? I disagree a little bit, but yeah, I would take the Lions over them. But my point is, NFC Championship game last year, sixth in the power rankings that came out yesterday from ESPN going into the season. In
sure.
Overall, not just in the NFC. Why not? If you're using the pick on an edge and it's a one versus one of crapshoot dude from Marshall or Trey Hendrickson, I'll use the pick on Trey Hendrickson. Bob Carpenter's going to join us next, Tobes. Let's get to him. Made the big announcement yesterday ahead of the Nats exhibition game that didn't happen that he is going to be spending his final season in the booth this year calling Nats games. You're listening to Grant and Danny.